I too would like to join in with Brother Meadows and Brother Trotter for thanking the leadership of this congregation for the opportunity to be here for this wonderful gathering and the fellowship that we enjoy. Amen. It is great. It is fantastic. And for this opportunity, we thank you all for your vision, and we thank Almighty God for instilling in you this desire. The challenge of male spiritual leadership. Just before I do that, I've been asked to make this announcement. On April the 1st, on Thursday evening, beginning on April the 1st, at the Highland Acres congregation in Statesville, North Carolina, the spring quarter for the East Tennessee School of Preaching Extension in Statesville will begin. Terry Wheeler will be teaching the New Testament Church, and four academic credit hours will be offered for all who would like to take that course for credit. And beginning at 7 o'clock at our building in Highland Acres, probably lasting till about 10:20 each Thursday evening in nearly 10 weeks, Thursdays in a row. And I think there may be one or so exception of that because of prior engagements. But nearly 10 weeks in a row, beginning on April the 1st, the New Testament Church. Now, the challenge of male spiritual leadership has been assigned to me. The challenge of male spiritual leadership is as great as the threats against it. We must see the challenge and rise to the occasion. And that's basically what I'm going to be appealing to you to do today. See the threats, the challenge of male spiritual leadership, and rise to the occasion. I remember a few years ago when I was considered, at least in my mind, an athlete. I remember being a runner and a biker. And whenever I approached a hill, I always thought in my mind that this is a challenge and I need to rise to the occasion rather than dread it. If I dreaded it, I realized it didn't take me a few times to realize it would take me forever to get to the top of that hill. But if I looked at that hill as a challenge and I can't wait until I'm over it, the next thing I know, I'm over it. And so I'm saying to you today, rise to the occasion. See the challenge and rise to the occasion. There was a basketball team just a few nights ago who saw a great challenge and rose to the occasion. Weber State. I know it. They could have saw the Tar Heels, and just cashed in and said, forget it. But they saw the challenge, rose to the occasion, and defeated their locker room opponent. What I'd like to do in this lesson is explore three of the major threats, at least as I see them, to male spiritual leadership, in hopes that we will see the challenge and rise to the occasion. One of the threats that I see to male spiritual leadership is the threat on the home. The threat on the home. God's design for the male in the home, the man in the home, is to be what I call leader-lover. Leader-lover. Now, I combine these two terms, leader-lover, because to lead without love is harsh and cruel. And to love without leading is to basically reject God's design. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told the husband is to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is to lead the wife, and the wife is to be in subjection. Granted, the context of this command, this will of God, is such that leadership on the part of the man is, as he puts it, to love as Christ loved the church. There's a quality to that leadership that he is to love as Christ loved the church. Now, in today's society, subjection is a bad, bad word. Wives don't want that. Women don't want to hear that they are to be in subjection to their husband. In fact, anymore, when marriages will take place, you remember not so long ago that the officiator would add the words that concerning the wife towards her husband, to love him, to cherish him, and obey him. Amen. Nowadays, well, preacher, just don't use the word obey. Okay, if you don't want that word, well, then we won't use that word. Well, God's design still remains that the wife is to be in subjection to the husband. And if she's not, then there's going to be problems in that home. No doubt contributing to the rise of the divorce rate. Well, the women's liberation movement is a threat to male spiritual leadership. Women are being told that they need not be in subjection to anyone. Women more and more are believing that they are not to be viewed as the weaker vessel, as Peter referenced them in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. And by the way, he says, giving honor, telling the man, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We need to give. There's again that love that plays a part in this. These views threaten the home as God designed it. And I want you to note an interesting statistic. Better Homes and Gardens took a survey of 340,000 homes and produced what I consider surprising results. Participants were asked, quote, do you think the dominant role of the husband in the American family is declining in importance? Not surprisingly, 79% said yes. But listen to what is surprising. They were also asked, would you consider a decline in the husband's dominance to be good? 71% said no. I repeat, they were asked, would you consider a decline in the husband dominance in the family to be good? 71% said no. And that's surprising to me. But this suggests that most Americans believe the husband is still more effective as leader in the home. Most women want their husbands to be their spiritual leaders. Are we? Well, while the husband's leadership role in the American home is declining, while we are talking about a dominant role, we're not talking about a domineering role. The leadership role is not really a coveted role. We must ultimately take responsibility for what goes wrong. And as men, we must put forth our best feet to get the family back on track. Yes, that's right. We must take responsibility. Much like the executive officer. Not always the blame for what gets wrong, although sometimes that blame is pointed to him. And it's pointed to him because he's always the one responsible for getting it back on track and moving in the right direction. This leadership role does not mean superiority or dictatorship. Someone said, the leader presides at the foot of the table, not at the head of the table. And this is what Jesus is teaching when he talks about the servant, or the least shall be the greatest, etc. The servant is not greater than the master, or the master not greater than the servant. When we fail to be spiritual leaders in the home, ugly things result. There's a growing number of single parent homes. Have you noticed? Well, brethren, it takes two to tango. Where is the husband? Society always blames the female. And sometimes we can come down pretty hard on her. The man just simply walks around free. No hardships. Something is wrong with that. In fact, when we fail to take responsibility for our actions, something is wrong. That's not God's way. And when we fail to teach our son to take responsibility for their roles and their actions, that's the way God wants it. They need to take responsibility for their actions. And we need to train them to teach their sons to do the same. Another ugly thing happens when we fail to be spiritual leaders in the home. The wife rebels against us and rebels against our leadership. You see, too many of us want leadership for leadership's sake. And whether it's right or wrong, well, I'm the husband, and it's got to be my way or the highway. And a lot of times it is the highway. Power hunger attitudes just does not earn us the respect of those who are supposed to be following us. And so, lead, yes, but also love as Christ loved us. The lack of male spiritual leadership is viewed by many as poor male spiritual leadership. Husbands, or I'll say fathers, boys often, who become fathers, not taking responsibility for what they've done. Single parent home is brought about because of those actions. And now, no male spiritual leadership. At least that's what we could conclude here today. But folks are looking upon that as poor male spiritual leadership because there's still a need for it. And it's just that young boy is not taking responsibility for his actions. Oh, brethren, we need to stand up and be responsible men in our homes. We need to train our boys to be responsible men. After all, the nation and the church begin with the home. And that brings me to my second point. Not only threats to the home challenges male spiritual leadership, but threats to the church challenge male spiritual leadership. At the top of my list, I put apathy as one of those threats. Apathy. Now listen, the lack of conviction, the lack of courage to act upon those convictions present a great threat to male spiritual leadership. Let me illustrate just an example of what I'm talking about. You know how in certain congregations, and probably none that's in here, therefore none in the Carolinas, but in other states, how there's always that one woman, or at least one, who stands up and says, "Brethren, I think you need to do this, and I think you need to do that," and always wanting to tell the brethren how to run things and do things and all of that. Don't you wonder, where is the husband in that picture? Because if your wife did that sort of thing, afterwards, she'd do it one time, and afterwards, you'd lay the hammer down, wouldn't you? You say, "Now, honey, let that be one and only one. Don't do that again. Don't ever do that again. I mean, when you're through with her, y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? When you're through with her, man, she wouldn't dare do that sort of thing again. If you have a problem with the way things are happening, you come to me." Isn't that right, brethren? And so, women, they still, time after time after time, there's this one or so women in every congregation, so it seems, who always think, "Well, brethren, I think this, and I think that, brethren." "Brethren, oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Where is the husband?" "Oh, he's that weak-kneed man, knees knocking, that she has the ring around in his nose, and he's sitting there, 'Oh, honey, please.' Man, we need to rise up and be men. And that's not right. Now, God has obviously placed authority in the hands of the men. In fact, the text says that women are not to usurp authority over the man, to take over that authority that God has given the men folk. So, husbands, let us be men. And let not women disturb the church like that sort of thing, in that sort of manner. Apathy, lack of conviction, lack of courage to act on those convictions. It is a threat to male spiritual leadership. When we display such apathy, we send the wrong message to future leaders. And so this happens today. We let it go. You know what's happening? It happens again next month. We let it go. It has gone on for years now. And this is all our young men know in the church. It's a threat to male spiritual leadership. Those who follow male spiritual leadership, those who are willing to follow even, are disappointed when God's will is not enforced as it needs to be. And more importantly, God frowns on such weakness. God encourages us to be men. That's why he gives us authority. We need to be men with authority. Consider that trickle-down indifference hurts male spiritual leadership. When we are unconcerned and when we display such apathy, well, when apathetic leaders are leading the church, guess what kind of church you end up with? Apathetic members. And so, it is not good. You see, there are too many souls to be saved. There's too much Bible to be studied. There's too much nourishing to do for us to just sit back, and allow that kind of thing to happen. God does have a design. And those of us who are courageous and convicted to our hearts to do God's will, we need to stand up for what's right. Let me add that leadership is not just a title that we pride ourselves on. If I become an elder in the church, then I got it made, man. They'll be referring to me as elder so-and-so. And all years pass, and I've done nothing basically as an elder, but I still am an elder. Eldering, what are you doing, Mr. Elder? Well, I open the doors, and I close the doors when everything is over. What else? What do you expect me to do? Well, church, there's a lot to be done. And elders need to stand up and be shepherds that God has called them to be. See, there's a great deal of responsibility that goes with being a leader. First of all, and foremost, we must fight apathy. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Well, this is best accomplished when we are not suffering from that kind of disease. If we're apathetic, we're going to breed apathetic folks as leaders. I mean, that's what we're going to do. If we're leaders and we're apathy, then that's what's going to follow. To do this, that is to fight apathy, there's a certain level of excitement that leaders must have. Isn't that right? We need to be excited about the Lord's cause and all just willing to stand up and be counted. Leaders must have vision. And unfortunately, there are too many leaders who have vision but don't do anything about it to help bring that vision to truth. Good leaders are great encouragers. Amen, brethren. Amen. And so, the male spiritual leadership, that male spiritual leader dedicates himself to the spiritual welfare, even the spiritual growth of the church. And in some cases, will even sacrifice himself to that cause. Not only is apathy a threat to male spiritual leadership, but as Brother James spoke just a few minutes ago, liberalism, as I see it, is a threat to male spiritual leadership. Now, what do you mean by liberalism? As he mentioned in Matthew 16 and verse 19, when our Lord told Peter that he would give him the keys of the kingdom, and he says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loose in heaven, bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Well, loosing what God has bound, as my mind, is liberalism. Well, there's some movements in the church that are trying to change the role of women in the church. Not only are women now, as in their minds, or what they're trying to promote. Now, women are free, liberated women. They, after all, they say, they work in the workplace, and many of them are executive officers in their workplace. And then they have to come and sit down under ignorant men in the church. And you're saying that they can't do anything. Well, God has designed, not Al Simmons, for women to not usurp authority over the man, not to teach over the man. Isn't that God's design? Well, then, does God add in there somewhere where society changes that? It hasn't changed. And so the role of women, even though there are some who want to loose what God has bound concerning the role of women, God hasn't changed. It still remains. And so women leading singing, it's still viewed as a leadership position. You ask any of my children. I have a 12-year-old and a 7-year, nearly 8-year-old. And you ask in either one of them if a person leading singing like Brother Forrest has done here today is in a leadership position, I guarantee to you they'll say yes. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. It's a leadership position. Some folks are trying to define that as not a leadership position. It is still viewed by most members of the church as a leadership position, and all who are biblically standing for what's right. There are those who are wanting to change the pattern. And in what they have formed is a pattern that changes the pattern. Isn't that right? You hear them saying the same thing. If you say the same thing, you've got a pattern going. My oldest daughter came home from school one day, and she had learned patterns in mathematics. The odd numbers, one, to skip one to the next one, odd, to skip one to the next one, odd. And she said, Daddy, this is a pattern. Well, anytime you do the same thing over and over and over, you've got a pattern going. And so these brethren who have made this pattern of changing the pattern, they say that there shouldn't be a pattern, and in so doing, over and over and over, they themselves have established a pattern in so doing. Well, the truth is, there is sound words we need to adhere to. And if we continue to adhere to those sound words, it will always be the same. And therefore, change what? Change God's word? No. We say no to that. Well, in changing the pattern, they talk about changing the government. No longer are we to adhere to the qualifications of an elder, qualifications of a deacon. And in fact, they say, women can be elders, many of them say. One thing that a woman will never be is the husband of one wife. She might be the wife of a wife, according to the legal standards of our country, but she'll never be the husband of a wife. Never, 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 never. And therefore, she is not qualified. They wanted to change the worship. They say, we're just an entertaining group of people, and so we ought to add some entertainment into our worship services. And then they add these kinds of arguments. After all, don't you notice how the brethren fall asleep when you're preaching? Yes, I do. We notice that sort of thing. Y'all laughing preachers, y'all know it's right. So wouldn't you rather for folks to pay attention and at least get something out of it than fall asleep? Well, apathy is a problem. That's the problem, is apathy. And we continue to work on it. In worship, God still remains the one who is to be worshipped. In John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. We worship God. It's not so much what we get out of it. It's what we put into it in worship. And so we do. We worship God God's way, in spirit and in truth, not our own way. Well, another one of the challenges of male spiritual leadership is fighting against this liberalism. Because if you open the door for one little thing, you may as well open the door for every big thing. Let us rise up and be counted on the Lord's side. Secular society should never change the church. Never. The church should change secular society. We've been given the command, the king's marching orders, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel changes folks. When we fail to stand up for truth, God's design is challenged through and through. Another threat to the church is on the opposite extreme, legalism. Binding what God has loosed. This ugly spirit, and I consider it ugly spirit because it lacks compassion. It lacks the meekness that Brother James mentioned earlier. And it's ugly, man. It is ugly. It threatens male spiritual leadership, first of all, by discouraging men from becoming elders in the church. This ugly spirit would say basically that the qualifications are for perfect men. Now, they wouldn't come right out and say the word perfect, but their attitudes is that, you don't qualify because you're not perfect. You know, the Apostle Peter would never become an elder in many of our congregations. And he denied the Lord 3 times. How can we let him be an elder in our church? And he was. See, we need to add some compassion to everything that we do and everything we see. And in this legalistic spirit, it's an ugly, ugly thing. The main discouragement in legalism, as I see it, is what I call the pendulum effect. It's such an ugly spirit that it has caused others to swing to the other extreme. We see this ugliness here. And I mean, it is ugly, brethren. Isn't it, though? Isn't it ugly? It causes me to want to go. I don't want to be associated with these kinds of folks. I mean, it is so far away from the spirit of Christ that it is so ugly. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But let us not swing to the other extreme. The other extreme being liberalism, and forget what God has said concerning everything. I might add that this domineering spirit of men causes women to turn away from that kind of leadership. Apathetic men causes women to take charge. And so these are threats to male spiritual leadership. Let me add in the next few moments what I call threats to the self, threats to men themselves. And basically, I mention this simply to make a personal appeal concerning these challenges. Each of us here should leave with a stronger desire to be the leader lover. The leader lover. In so doing, we will please God, because God has called us to be that. And in so doing, we will gain and or maintain the respect of those who would follow us, both in the home and in the church. Each should be in touch with the desire to stand strongly for truth. The role of husband in the husband-wife relationship. I'm going to be the head of my home, but I'm going to rule, or I'm going to have that headship, recognizing that I need to be a lover as well, compassionate in dealing with my wife. And sometimes I realize in that attitude that my wife just might be right and I may be wrong. You remember Brother Meadows was talking about, I think it may have been Brother Trotter this morning, talking about how stubborn we are. And we've gone all this way around and we've now concluded that we just wanted to survey the land, you know. Well, 10 miles ago our wife was saying, "Why don't you stop and ask somebody?" "Well, I know what I'm doing. I will get there. We know. Man, you're just as blind, not knowing, and yet, but you don't want your wife to be right. Sometimes our wives are right. The role of parent in the parent-child relationship, let us be responsible for our actions. And if we've tangled, even if it's sin, and there's a child in the result, we need to be responsible for that child. The child is not the sin. We need to be responsible. The role of male leadership and female submissiveness in the church. That's God's design. And somebody, if husband won't do it, somebody needs to talk to husband. So husband can perhaps talk to his wife and get her under control. Well, brethren, until God changes his word, the world is still in need of true biblical Christianity. The world is still in need of true commitment to truth. Jesus tells us that we're going to be judged according to his word. John 12:48. Not the words of man, whoever he is. God has spoken. It's our responsibility to heed what he says. And he won't change. We need to change. And so, brethren, will you accept the challenge? Male spiritual leadership being challenged on every hand. Will you accept the challenge?